Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM, HD Evanston, Chicago. I'm Gabby Schell, and this is WNUR's News at 6. Tonight, Northwestern's smallest dorms, Chicago summer festivities, and the award-winning For Whom Does the Bell Toll? Those stories and more coming up. From Northwestern University, this is WNUR News at 6. In recent years, several former sorority houses on Northwestern's South Campus have been converted into residence halls. Ella Smith and Rachel Spears provide a glimpse into the lives of the residents of Northwestern's smallest dorms.
From 640 Emerson to 1856 Orrington, Northwestern University's sorority quads are home to several small dorms, all with strange numbers in their names. Relatively unknown except to their residents, these dorms offer a different point of view to student life at Northwestern. Many of these smaller South Area dorms are converted sorority houses. 1871 Orrington, the recently refashioned Kappa Kappa Gamma House, was home to Meghan Markle, Duchess of Sussex. Natalia, a Weinberg freshman and resident of 636 Emerson, another old sorority house, says that most people didn't know that there were residence halls nestled within the sorority quads.
They're like, oh, do you live in a sorority? It's like, no, I just live in an old one.
While older than 1838 Chicago and Allison, they have their modern touches. One second year, Joshua, compared his dorm last year, Bob, to his experience this year in 1871 Orrington.
The facilities are definitely nicer.
Alan, a Weinberg freshman in the same building, also shared his opinions.
It's somewhat old of a building, but I think just the experiences overweigh that.
While home to fewer residents, many of them included newly renovated bathrooms and large study and social spaces. A first year living in 1871 Orrington, Sheridan enjoys using the space.
So there's a lot of places on the main floor to study, which I really appreciate. There's a beautiful like sunroom out there that you could just sit and like it gets a lot of nice light. So that's probably my favorite.
Every time I bring someone new, they're like, oh, it looks so nice.
That was Natalia, who likes showing off her dorm to her friends. The social life in these small dorms can rival some of the more popular residence halls.
I guess it's easier to meet people and get along with them since there's not that many people you're interacting with, and I prefer that.
Muha is another first year that echoed those same sentiments. We found him spending time with friends in his dorm's basement. He chose his small dorm because it offered continuous housing over winter break, something that he needs as an international student.
You get to know people more at a personal level. If it's too large, you don't really interact with everyone. If it's small, like, there's more opportunity to interact with people.
While most liked their dorms, others had some minor complaints. Joshua lives south, where most of the converted sorority houses are. This can be quite inconvenient, especially when most of his classes are in tech, which is about a half mile away.
This year, I'm happy to be living with my friends, but it's a little difficult to be walking so much here and there.
Another student, Isaac, expressed some discontent about the difficulty of trying to meet people during the first few weeks of school.
Especially at the start of the year, coming onto campus, it was really hard to meet new people in such a small dorm, like especially in a 30-person dorm.
There are certain challenges faced by students living in dorms of all sizes, but overall, it seems that Northwestern's smallest dorms provide students with a tight-knit community, and the historic charm of the building certainly doesn't hurt.
I like how close everyone is. All the freshmen are very, like, nice to each other, and we hang out all, like, every day. I also like how it looks like a house. It's very homey.
For WNUR News, I'm Rachel Spears.
And I'm Ella Smith. Well, I'll be living in one of those houses next year, so I'm happy to hear that the reviews are good. Moving on, the weather is getting warmer, and that means Chicago is almost ready for its summer festivities. Reporter Sarah Thornton has the story.
Every season in Chicago is filled with activities of all kinds, and hopefully the warm weather will bring you to the Chicago area if you're staying close for the summer. There are so many exciting events taking place from May to August to keep your schedule busy. Looking ahead to May, we have the Navy Pier Summer Fireworks, Chicago Farmers Market, Maxwell Street Market, and Mayfest, amongst others. In June, we have the Chicago Pride Parade, the Windy City Hot Dog Fest, Chicago Blues Festival, Summer Smash Festival, and more. July features the Windy City Smokeout, Pitchfork Music Festival,
Chinatown Summer Fair, and additional markets, tastes, and festivals you can check out all summer long. Finally, in August, we have Lollapalooza, the Chicago Air and Water Show, Taste of Greektown, Chicago Triathlon, and many others. Let's dive into a few of Chicago's favorites. First, we have Mayfest Productions, which is an organization here at Northwestern that plans and produces the nation's largest student-run music festival, Dillo Day, which will be held on May 18th this year. I asked Weinberg Jr., Defne Deda, to give us some insights on how hard the Mayfest team has been working to prepare Dillo Day.
Whole thing, right, for like 100 people, and those 100 people, everyone has to have a schedule, and like for people at the end of the day, and our shift is like on the day of, on Dillo Day, the exec board starts at 5, and all of the members come in at 6 a.m., and we are there like approximately until like 2 or 3 a.m., so that's a very long time.
Defne is the co-head of promotions for Mayfest Productions and handles PR, marketing, and more. This year, it's news that Mayfest will be doing something different regarding safety precautions.
One thing that we're doing differently this year is that we're going to have metal detectors for safety. So when entering Dillo, we want like all attendants to know that they will be scanned by and like scanned with metal detectors when entering Dillo. So it's really important for this year for us, like, safety-wise, I think it's going to be, like, a big improvement. Like, not that anything bad happened in the past little days, thank God. But you can never be too safe, right? So, like, we think that's, like, a very good difference, too.
Defne shared that Mayfest is responsible for not only producing Dillo Day, but holding other programming events such as Battle of the DJs and Battle of the Artists. If you're interested in attending Dillo Day, you can get wristbands now at dilloday.com. Another summer favorite, the Windy City Smokeout, features country music and barbecue. In the past, there's been up to 20,000 people in attendance each day, and Windy City Smokeout goes to play in rain or shine. This year, it will be held July 11 to 14 and features headliners like Cody Johnson and Carrie Underwood. There is clearly a lot to be excited about when it comes to the Chicago festivities, especially for students who are new to the Chicago area.
Well, I'm from Florida, so things are a lot different. We don't have that many street festivals. Most of our street festivals are farmers markets and stuff like that.
That was first-year Weinberg student Leighton Gunter. Leighton may be sticking around for the summer and is excited for what's to come.
I went to Chris Kendall Market during the winter, and it was very homey, and it was very set up, very formal, and it seemed like there's a lot of effort that went into that, so I imagine that the summer ones will be similar and with different things.
In particular, Leighton is looking forward to attending Lollapalooza, which will take place from August 1st to August 4th.
I was pretty excited for Lollapalooza. I thought that would be pretty cool. And I guess there is a lot of concerts in Florida, but it would be a different style, and there's nothing really that big in Florida, I feel like.
Lollapalooza will feature headliners including SZA, Tyler the Creator, Blink-182, and other celebrated artists. Whether it's food, music, or shopping, summers in Chicago will have everything to keep you satisfied. Hope to see you there. From WNUR News, I'm Sarah Thornton.
There really is nothing like a Chicago summer. Now, WNUR reporter Mika Ellenson recently won the Society of Professional Journalists Region 5 Award for the Best Narrative Podcast. In honor of her victory, we wanted to give you guys another listen to this fantastic piece. Here is For Whom Does the Bell Toll?
This story concerns a bell located within the Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity, specifically the national headquarters. The Northwestern chapter of SAE has been the subject of several recent controversies, but this story focuses on the bell and the bell alone. When I was a freshman, I lived in West Fairchild. Across from the Fairchildren was a huge building with a large bell. That bell would factor into our freshman year quite a lot. I'll let my dorm mate Lizzie Wilkerson tell you about it.
So I have lived in West Fairchild for the past 2 years, which is directly across the street of the SAE bell, and it has terrorized me. So sometimes, always at random times, never on the hour, never on the quarter hour, before 7 p.m., we would just want to take a nap after a really hard day, and the bell would start ringing, and you think, okay, it's only going to ring for like a minute max, which is already a really long time for a bell to ring, but it would go for 2 minutes, stop for 15 seconds, so you're thinking, oh, it's finally over. And then it would start ringing again, and it seemed like it only played when we took a nap.
A year later, I was walking past the building, and I thought I would call the SAE National Headquarters to see if I could get a look inside. And to my surprise, they picked up.
My name is Caitlin Haycock, and I'm the Office and Events Coordinator at Sigma Alpha Epsilon. So I help run the building, but I also work hand-in-hand with the fraternity.
Caitlin opened the door and showed me to the object of mystery.
Right now, we're in front of our Deacon Tower chime system.
From our vantage point on the first floor of the building, the bell system looks like a steampunk version of one of those old music boxes, with rolls of hole-punched paper that are run through a metal mechanism to create notes.
I like to call it the 1930s iPod because they didn't really have this technology then. Deegan was specialty here in Chicago. So this was like the top of the line when we built the building in 1930. So I just opened it up to show the alternate rolls. Mm-hmm. But you can see if you pull it out, you can see I Love You Truly by Jacobs Bond or March On by Aida Verdi, like, or Brahms Lullaby.
The mystery of when the bell rang was cleared up rather quickly.
So there's a time clock system, and you actually set it. It's actually inside the closet of my office here. Mm-hmm. Let's pull it open. I think it's right here. We're in my closet next to the control system, because this is all the wiring that controls it. But you set it as a time, and then it would play it. There really was no time set. I think we tried to keep it around the noon hour, just because that's a good time for everyone to be awake.
But Caitlin pointed me to another mystery about the bell tower. Why it hasn't rung since last year.
It's 100-year-old technology, so it is kind of fickle. We did have it up and running last year, which you do recall, with the bells running. But it was at random times. And then only two people in the country can fix this. It's kind of a labor of love.
Naturally, I had to track down the man himself. One of only two people in the country that has the knowledge to fix this kind of Deegan bell. Or as he informed me, tower chimes.
My name is William Pugh, and I take care of Deegan Tower chimes throughout the U.S. I don't like to be called a contractor. I'm a musician.
William runs the company Top Rung Tower Chime and Organ Service. He also told me that he is actually the only Deegan Tower Chime repairman left in the U.S. For him, this is a love story that spans nearly half a century.
I saw my first Deegan in 1976, and I was smitten, I guess.
Now, William spends his time driving across the country, maintaining and restoring the roughly 100 Deegan Tower chimes that are still in operation. He's full of stories from places as far as Abilene, Kansas.
Brown Memorial Home is the only retirement home in the world with a Deegan Tower chime.
Kingsburg, California.
There are bees in the walls. Every few years they harvest the honey.
And Franklin, Indiana.
I lost a year of my life to an avian tuberculosis from bat guano in Franklin, Indiana. And the bats were protected, but I'm not. Some of the sites are remarkable. I understand why there's OSHA.
But for William, this is more than just a job.
It's a career. It's an obsession. It's not just a job and 9 to 5 and go home. I sort of live these things. And I'm still learning, which is one of the things I love about it.
William told me that the last time he repaired the SAE bell, it was squirrels nesting in the strikers causing the problem. Only members are allowed up in the bell tower. So I asked him to describe it to me.
It'd be like a wind chime on steroids. The chimes are suspended from their tops. That's one thing that distinguishes them from bells. They are extruded tubes, a giant pasta machine up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. American Brass is where they were extruded. They stopped at C. That was about 14 feet long because that's all the lathes at the factory could handle. And that's about 400 pounds of bronze. Chimes are struck at the top, except for wind chimes. Always an exception.
Among his many contacts across the U.S., William has also had a variety of experiences. He has a spreadsheet of different iterations of his company's name.
The paperwork came back, Top Rung Town Charm and organ service. And I figure, oh, I've been called a lot worse.
Other contacts have been with William for many years.
My contact person in Galesburg, Illinois, is getting on in years. He doesn't go up the tower with me anymore. He played those chimes as a young adult. He proposed to his wife on Christmas Eve in between playing two selections on the tower chimes. It's very much a part of his life and her life.
But after over 30 years of traveling the country with his husband, fixing Deegan shower times on both coasts, William is finally getting ready to retire.
The towers keep getting taller and my toolbox gets heavier.
He says he's proud of the work he's done.
It's keep these wonderful instruments playing for another generation. And I believe I have found people to keep them ringing for the next generation. At this point, I've just about done two generations myself. If we don't preserve the good things that have been done in the past, we'll have to reinvent the wheel. We'll forget it.
I wanted to know more about the mysterious J.C. Deegan, so I visited the Deegan Building, which used to house the factory that made Deegan bells. It still has a connection to the original factory. Century Mallets, a repair company for instruments like Deegan bells, was started by one of the last workers of the Deegan Company. It's operated now by Andres Bautista.
To keep listening to that SJP winning piece, go to WNURnews.org. Whoever said Mondays were boring never listened to the B-List. This week, Ella Smith covers old-ish and the new in pop culture.
Welcome to the B-List, your weekly roundup of celebrity mess and pop culture. This week, new Taylor Swift, Shyamalan, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, and a brief look at baseball. In music, Taylor Swift's new album, The Tortured Poets Department, released April 19th to mixed reviews, receiving an instant classic from Rolling Stone, but a 6.6 on Pitchfork. The artist's latest work, nevertheless, broke several music streaming records, including the first album to surpass 300 million streams in a single day on Spotify, and the album's opener, Fortnite, becoming the song to reach the most streams in a single day on the platform. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced its 2024 inductees on April 21st. Cher, Mary J. Blige, and A Tribe Called Quest are among the list of artists receiving the honor. The ceremony will be held October 19th. In movies, the trailer for M. Night Shyamalan's newest movie, Trap, was released April 19th. Starring Josh Hartnett, the trailer for the horror movie has already garnered 15 million views on YouTube and is expected to release August 9th. Press tour for Challengers continues as the Luca Guadagnino picture opens this Friday. Zendaya, the star of the tennis movie, wore a Jacquemus dress to the Beverly Hills Pref Conference on Saturday. It marked an addition to her athletic-themed wardrobe she has shown off throughout the film's press tour. In sports, the Baltimore Orioles have had a good season so far, winning 5-0 against the Kansas City Rays yesterday and are on track to win the second most amount of games they've ever won in a season. The Atlanta Braves continue to lead and are currently 14-6 this season. That's all for the B-List this week. Check in next Monday to hear about what happens this week in pop culture. For WNUR News, I'm Ella Smith.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. Tomorrow, the high will be 65 degrees with a low of 38. Light rain is expected in the early evening. Wednesday will be chilly with a high of 45 degrees and a low of 36. Avoid hats because the wind will be blowing up to 20 miles per hour. Thursday will be sunny with a high of 54 degrees and a low of 46. Taking a look at the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation. In honor of Earth Day, the Northwestern Associated Student Government hosted Green Out this Saturday, a festival celebrating sustainability and environmental activism. Students listened to live music and explored booths hosted by Fossil Free, Wild Roots, menstrual equity activists, and other sustainability-focused organizations. Dozens of students at Yale University were arrested this morning after refusing to vacate an encampment set up in solidarity with protesters at Columbia and Palestinians in Gaza. The arrest comes days after 100 pro-Palestinian protesters at Columbia were taken into police custody. Former President Donald Trump's hush money trial officially kicked off this morning as both sides aired their opening arguments. Trump, who faces up to 4 years in prison, is accused of buying people's silence to win the 2016 election. On the labor beat, Volkswagen workers in Chattanooga, Tennessee voted to unionize on Friday in a major win for the United Auto Workers. The auto plant will be the UAW's first successful organizing outside of Detroit's Big Three. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Basil Free, and our reporters are Ella Smith, Rachel Spears, Sarah Thornton. I'm Gabby Shell. Catch our newscast Wednesday, April 24th. Now, back to scheduled programming.